for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, December the 28th, 2013. Carla Buttard is the speaker of the afternoon, speaking on betrayal.
Carla Buttard is going to come, and we are going to be fed. The Holy Spirit is going to feed us, and she's going to lead. Yep, that's right. That's right, Ann. And you got the rest of the afternoon, sister. So, praise God.
Okay, we're going to talk about a subject that we've all dealt with at one time in our lives or another. Even as young as the young ones here, they probably already experienced this too, and it's betrayal. We're going to talk about betrayal. And I'm going to use a story from the Bible. It's in 2 Kings, if y'all want to read along. I'm sorry, it's in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, chapter 13. And the Lord opened this up to me, I think it was probably about 2009. And I don't know if I've talked about it since then, but it's under another subject that I've done before called Desolation, the Curse of Tamar. And we're going to start at verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Now, Amnon was King David's firstborn son. Absalom was his third son. And Tamar was Absalom's sister, but Amnon's half-sister. And I guess they all lived in the castle with King David. And Amnon was so distressed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. So we see that Amnon was attracted to Tamar in a way that he knew was not right to be attracted to his sister. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. This was a cousin, the son of Shimei, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Now that word subtle is the same word that's used of the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Subtle. It's not a good thing. And he said unto him, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? You've heard of being lovesick? He was so attracted to his sister that he was not even eating right. Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, okay, so he's gonna give a plot. See, this is the subtle one. And he's going to give him a plan how to get with his sister. So we have to be really careful who we take advice from. Yes. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and pretend that thou art sick. And when thy father comes to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me food and prepare food in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand. So Amnon lay down and pretended that he was sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said to the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and prepare a meal for him. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it, and made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. Then Amnon said, send out all men for me. He cleared the room. And they went out, every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, bring the food into the chamber that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, Come, lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not this folly. And I, where shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. So we see here that he raped her. He forced her. He was stronger than her. He overpowered her and took her against her will. Then, now, this is an interesting dynamic, is that he was so lovesick for his sister that he couldn't think of anything else. Then he had her, took her, forced her. And then in verse 13, it says, Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love which he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, Arise, be gone. Now this is written in Old English, but basically he said, Get up and get out of here. Like that. He hated her. He resented her. Probably the anger was really more at himself for what he had done. But it was directed to Tamar. And she said unto him, There is no cause. This evil in sending away is greater than the other that thou did to me. But he would not hearken unto her. Then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, Put now this out from me, and bolt the door after her. So now he has said, Get up and get out. And then he told a servant, Put her out, and bolt the door after her. And she had a garment of several colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters, who were virgins, appareled. See, so the young women wore a beautiful colored garment that let everybody know that she was a virgin. In the spirit realm, we have garments. And if we could see in the spirit realm, a virgin would have a garment that signified virginity. In 18, and she had a garment of several colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters who were virgins apparelled. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her. Can you hear it? In that type of house back then, they had these big, heavy wooden doors slamming, and then the lock being put over it, and that noise of being bolted. And there she was. They just tossed her out of the room and locked her out. In 19, it says, And Tamar put ashes on her head and tore her garment of several colors that was on her and laid her hand on her head and went on her way crying. She was filled with anguish and sorrow and grief. She had been violated. Her beautiful garment that she wore proudly as a virgin, now she had ripped it because she no longer felt worthy to wear it. So she tears the garment and is in shame. And when back in that day, they would put ashes on their head. I think that's kind of a funny way to show your sorrow and your anguish, but she put ashes on her head. You know, one time I used to be a checker in a grocery store, and it was Ash Wednesday. And this girl came through the line, and she had this big smudge on her forehead, and I said, Oh, you've got something on your head. And she said, Oh, I know, it's Ash Wednesday. And I said, Oh, well, why do y'all do that? She goes, I don't know. So I asked God, Why do they put ashes on their head? Well, when I read this, I thought, ashes. So I can see where it's, you know, around Easter time and they go and get the ashes, and it's a it signifies their grief and their sorrow about what happened to Jesus, I guess. But anyway, so here she was now. Her garment was torn. She had been violated. And actually, you know, being a girl, I don't know how it would affect guys, but when you're a young girl and something like that happens to you, you feel your whole world comes crashing down around you, because I'm sure she was like all the rest of us young girls. She was waiting for her prince and looking forward to being married and having a family and all these beautiful things. And now what? She felt like she wasn't worthy to have the good things in life anymore. And you will find this in women who have been abused sexually, mistreated, raped, molested. They feel that way about themselves. Not all of them, but many of them. And God wants to heal that. And not only for women, but men too. You know, when I first read this story, it was all about Tamar and what happened to her. And so when I bring it forth, it's for women that have been wounded and violated and all those things. But perhaps you are the one who did something like that. And there's healing for you as well in this. And in verse 20, it says, "And Absalom, her brother, said unto her." Now, if you had a brother and a sister, and you lived closely with them, and the brother is eyeing with that look of lust and adoration, you would notice that. I mean, you can see it in people, even anywhere you are. You notice that look. So you know that Absalom must have seen his brother eyeing his sister for some time. Now he comes up and he sees his sister in this condition. Her garment is torn. She's got ashes on her head. She's devastated. She's crying. So Absalom, in verse 20, says, "Hath Amnon, thy brother, been with thee?" He knew. He knew as soon as he saw her what happened. And then he says this to her, "But hold now thy peace, my sister." Do you know, when Tamar saw her brother coming, the brother that loved her like a brother should, you have to know that she probably thought, here comes Absalom. He is going to stand up for my honor. And then he tells her, "Don't tell anybody." And I want to say this to the young ones here. If anybody ever hurts you, you go straight to your mom or dad or someone that you trust, and you tell them what has happened. Because the greatest thing the enemy wants to do is for you to keep it secret so he can torment you, even though it had nothing to do with Tamar. It wasn't her fault. And yet Absalom wants her to keep this devastating thing quiet, so that she couldn't be defended, and her honor wasn't defended, and the person couldn't be brought to justice if it was kept quiet. And Satan likes to, he has his greatest power in the areas of your secrets. If he can tell you something, if he can make you keep something that shouldn't be kept secret, then he can torment you with it. So don't keep it secret. But here is her brother saying, "Hold now thy peace, my sister, for he is thy brother. Regard not this thing." Can you imagine? Regard not this thing. Pay it no attention. Wow. So, Tamar, it says, remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. And you know, she's never spoken of again. That's what desolation is. You just kind of don't even exist. Her prince didn't come. She probably lived to be an old age in her brother's house, never having her prince, never having her own home and a family. Desolate. We're going to look at that word. Okay, we're going to stop right there. So here she has been not only raped, violated, she's told to keep it secret, which felt like a huge betrayal by her brother. Now, there's all kinds of betrayal. You can be betrayed by a friend. You can be betrayed by a husband, a wife, a boyfriend, a boss, a coach. There's all kinds of betrayals. So this is not just about rape and that sort of thing. It's about betrayal. So whenever this, I started thinking on this, and God just pointed it out to me one day, was because for years, after I got saved, I've been coming to meetings like this, and there's always many, many single, beautiful, available women and men who have never found a wife. And so I started asking God about it. What is the deal? Why all these beautiful, available women, they want to be married, they just can't seem to find a husband? And so God showed me this one day, and when I saw that, so Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. I knew there was something to this. There are also women who are married but without their husbands. And I was one of those. He comes with me when he can, but for many, many years I was by myself, and I would see these married couples coming in, and I would just say, Lord, I want my man with me. But you know, one day God said, what I do with your husband is none of your business. And I had to let go of that. You know, we can make idols out of things that we shouldn't. Okay. There are also women who have been married before, but they had a bad experience, and they are no longer interested in men. Period. And I think some of these things are part of that as well. And it can also affect men. Okay, so we saw that Amnon lusted for his sister, and it was forbidden. There was rebellion, obsession, plotting, conspiracy, deception and lying, rape, anger, resentment, bitterness, hatred, and betrayal. And all of these, if you know the stories before this, were a result of the sins of the fathers being visited upon the sons. Because remember, King David lusted after Bathsheba, sent for her, had her husband killed. And for years and years it never occurred to me until I read this story. But you know, when he sent for Bathsheba, you didn't say no to the king. She went. But I put myself in that place. I'm a married woman. If the king had sent for me, I wouldn't have wanted to go to bed with the king. You know, I have a husband that I love. Was that a willing thing? Or did he take her forcefully? It doesn't say. But anyway, in 2 Samuel 11, I want you to see something else important here. 2 Samuel 11, chapter 11. I'm going to read the first few sentences. It says, and it came to pass after the year was ended, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Amnon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried at Jerusalem. See, in the very first scripture it says, at the time when kings go forth to battle. Well, David was a king. He didn't go to battle. He sent his men to battle, but he tarried at Jerusalem. So it's important to be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. That way, this would have never happened. He wouldn't have been lollygagging out on his rooftop and seeing Bathsheba bathing. And, you know, he was supposed to be at war. So that's another important part of this. Be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. Okay, so maybe you've never been raped or molested or sexually abused, but it came down through the bloodline. Because when I first started getting into deliverance, I would hear women talking about things that they had suffered. And I had never suffered those things, but you know, the cruelty of demons is I suffered a lot of the same things that women who were raped and molested suffered, but I had never been raped or molested. But now I know that those generationally inherited things can come down through the bloodline, and you could be suffering the same effects from it, having never experienced what brought it on in the first place. I call those familiar spirits. The spirit of someone in my bloodline having experienced rape or molestation or incest or any of those things, and then the spirits are all there, and then they're passed down through the bloodline generation after generation. So I am having manifestations in my body like this had happened to me when it hadn't. That's the cruelty of it. And I had shared a teaching with a friend of mine recently, and her husband, they're Baptist, but I knew what was going on, so I gave him the pornography teaching, actually. And the wife wanted the husband to listen to it. Well, he's a deacon in the Baptist church, and he said, this generationally inherited stuff, it doesn't exist. And so my brother is a friend of him, of his. He is a friend of his, and he said that to me, that he thinks all that generationally inherited stuff is nonsense. And I said, yeah, I've heard that before. So later I said, Lord, what do you say to somebody who can't believe this and it's so real and it's having an effect in his own family and yet they want to receive it? And just out of the blue one day, the Lord said to me, if generationally inherited curses were not real, then none of us would need to be saved. We go all the way back generations, all the way to Adam. Adam is, what he did is the reason that we even need salvation. So how can you deny it? Even the Baptist, who is, they're all about salvation. You know, that's their main thing. And why do you need to be saved if that's not true? I just love God. He answers my questions. And they're so simple. It's like, duh. Right. Okay, so Tamar was stalked by her half-brother. So there have been people who have been stalked, or maybe you've been a stalker, raped, violated, and betrayed, became the hated and the blamed. You know, a lot of times young girls who experience incest and molestation in their families, when they go and tell them, they're made to feel like it was their fault and nothing is done, and yet another betrayal. Even maybe told, it was your fault. You brought this on yourself. She lost her innocence, lost her virginity. She was shamed, shunned. No longer arrayed in beautiful, colorful garment. And you know, you will even see the countenance of someone that this has happened to. The countenance becomes unhappy, sad, depressed. She was grieved, thrust into mourning, sorrow, and sadness, unprotected, no one to defend her honor. She was silenced, exiled, and remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Now, I've learned as I've gotten into the ministry of deliverance that sometimes you can look up these words and it will give you a list of the manifestations. The word desolate in Strong's Concordance means devastate. Don't you know she was devastated? Astonishment, amazement, trauma, great surprise in a bad way, or dismay that hinders or throws into confusion, waste, and ruined. And that's how a woman feels when this happens to her. And you know what? Men are raped as well. Now, I was grown up pretty much before I ever knew that. I thought it was just a man-woman thing. It means stupefy. And that means to make slow of mind, unthinking, irrational, lacking control or guidance. Sometimes they just kind of meander through life and have no guidance, no control. They can be unreasonable. And that means suggest control by some force other than reason. Obtuse. That means lacking sharpness or quickness of wit, being dulled in feeling or sensation, or incapable of feeling or sensation. In other words, they're swallowed up. They're taken captive by what has happened to them. There was a little boy at a meeting one time that was all of these things. I mean, he was so locked up. They said he was autistic. But, you know, sometimes we can put a name of an illness to something that really is just a demon. He was swallowed up. And I was watching him in the meeting, and it was a deliverance meeting, and I was just grieved at this child because here we were at a deliverance meeting, and he's going to come and go in the same condition. And I was just heartsick over that. So I was talking to the Lord about it, and the next morning, this word came to me that was prisoner of war. And he showed me how this child had been taken prisoner of war. He'd been taken captive because his parents were actually in the war. I don't know if it was drugs or if they were in prison. I don't know what happened to this child. He was a foster child. Somebody had taken him into their home. And so God said the parents were in the war, but the child is a prisoner of war. And he has been locked up in this state that they called autism. And so I had shared that with the pastor who was having the conference, and he wanted me to do whatever I thought needed to be done. Well, I didn't really know what needed to be done, but I prayed for him. I prayed whatever the Lord gave me, arrested development, and called him out of that prison, imprisoned place. And you know, 6 months later, I was told that he was reading and talking, and he was in regular classes. He got delivered of that captivity, that demon that had swallowed him up. It means dull, a slow or sluggish mind due to disease, depression, shock, or trauma. That's what had happened to this child. The root is wound or wound. A bodily injury caused by a physical force applied from without. A disordered psychic or behavioral state resulting from stress or injury. So trauma can cause arrested development. When something traumatic happens to a little child, sometimes their development is so disturbing to them that for a little while their brain doesn't continue to develop, and so it can cause immaturity. And I mean, there are a lot of adults with arrested development. My son, one time I was up here, and of course he was not a child; he was 24 years old. But he got arrested for marijuana. And my husband called, and he says, "Well, I hate to put a damper on your trip, but Kyle's arrested. He got arrested for marijuana." And I was just like, when will this ever end? I mean, he's not 14 anymore. He's a grown man still doing these stupid things. And the Lord said that whenever his development was arrested at the age that he started smoking marijuana and getting drunk. See, so when you do drugs and start getting drunk, it will cause your mind not to continue to develop properly. So that's a good reason to stay away from it. So trauma can cause arrested development to occur. A person's mental and emotional maturity is stunted. And many of us have areas of immaturity that hinder us in adulthood because our inner man is like a wounded little child. One time I was praying for this girl, and she kind of got in a stupor. In fact, I thought, has she astral projected from her body or what? I mean, it's like the house is empty. But actually what happened was she had gone, the memory of what had happened to her came to the surface. And all of a sudden I just saw her as a little, like, 5-year-old child that was frightened. And so I sat her down in a chair because she was taller than I was. And so I pulled a chair next to her and I just pulled her over and began to rock her like I would. My granddaughter was about 5 at the time. And so I just did to her what I would have done to my granddaughter, and she began to cry. And then she began to talk to me, but it was the voice of a little bitty girl. I was thinking, this is interesting. Can I tell you a secret? And I was like, my goodness. But I just went with it, you know, because I didn't really know what else to do. And I said, you can tell me anything. And so she got in my ear and she said, the mean man comes to get me and puts me on my daddy's bed and puts a pillow over my face. And I knew where it was going. And so I bound the mean man. I said, the mean man is not going to come anymore. But see, what had happened was, that was something traumatic was happening to her as a child. But as an adult, it was still happening to her in the night. She was still experiencing that trauma. And it was happening very often, to the point that it was driving her almost mad. And so I bound the mean man and broke his power and went for a lot of other things that are in this teaching that we'll do at the end. And so she got free of that. I didn't know it at the moment, but she called me about 3 weeks later and told me that she said, I wanted to wait until I was really, really sure, but it's gone. It's over. I was praising God. You better know. Okay. It means... Something traumatic like that happens, it's so incomprehensible for a child that they will, I don't know, go into some other place in their mind and another personality comes up. And this can be the cause of split personalities, multiple personality disorder. It means stupor, a state of extreme indifference or lethargy resulting from stress or shock. Lethargy is forgetfulness, physical or mental inertness or sluggishness, like being in a state of suspended animation. You ever seen anybody that just kind of walked around in a daze? Like they're not even, it's kind of like you have to go, hey, where are you? They may have suffered something like this. They're lifeless, they're depressed, they're sad, they're gloomy, low-spirited, and usually barren, not having a very productive life. Now, Webster defines desolate as destitute or deprived of inhabitants, deserted. It means left in the lurch, and that means a helpless or unsupported position, not protected. See, after that happened to Tamar, and Absalom comes along, and she's thinking, oh, my brother, he's gonna defend me. He's going to make this right. And then he says, don't say anything. And she's left in a lurch. She's just left, helpless, unsupported, not protected. It means uninhabited, denoting either stripped of inhabitants or never having been inhabited. Like an old abandoned house. You've seen a house that you know in its day was beautiful, full of life, but then nobody mows the grass and there's vines growing everywhere and the screens are rotted off and the doors hanging and it just looks like a desolate place, a deserted island or a desolate wilderness. And there's a lot of loneliness in that. That's how a person appears. Not really a house, but a person. Like there's no inhabitants, no joy, no life. It means laid waste, in a ruinous condition, desolate. Tamar lived desolate in her brother Absalom's house, neglected and destroyed, usually plain and having no self-worth. They have repeated failures, such as school, not being able to be successful in school or on jobs, in relationships, failed marriages. Their life is lonely and secluded and isolated, and they're usually just overlooked and ignored, passed over. It means solitary, without a companion. See, there was that thing of all of these beautiful young women who had no companion. It means afflicted. This thing of being looked over, I was at another seminar one time, and this beautiful, available young woman, she was about 40 now and had never married, wanted to be married really badly, and she said, "I don't know what it is. I can be in a room full of people, and a man can walk in, and he scans the room," and she said, "It's just like I'm invisible. They don't even look at me. I'm not even considered." Well, so I asked her, I said, "Have you ever been molested or raped when you were young?" And she said, "Yes, both." And I said, "Okay." So right there in the parking lot, it was late at night, and we were the only ones in the parking lot, but I still went after that thing and called it out of her, broke it off of her. I haven't talked to her again, so I don't know if she's gotten married or whatever, but I know that was a factor. They even feel deserted of God, because they cried out for this whatever it is, and nothing's ever changed, so they begin to feel that even God doesn't care, and they're deprived of comfort. Okay, so let's see. Not only rape, but any form of sexual abuse, child molestation, incest, trauma, no matter what the cause, no matter what your gender, betrayal by someone you trusted can leave you in this condition. Even, children who are used in satanic ritual abuse, their parents are in cults and things, and they give their children over to be used, and this can also be a cause of these results of betrayal. Now, there is a condition that lots of times comes upon people that these things have happened to, and it's called the spirit of the bride of Satan. I had heard of it only because my Uncle Ernie, who was Frank Marzullo Sr.'s brother, sent me all of his information, and there's a little booklet back there called The Spirit of the Bride of Satan. I think a Kundalini is on there and some other spirits, little bitties, just about maybe 10 pages. And I had read it years ago, but I didn't really get it. I didn't understand really what it meant, although I have a greater understanding of it now. What I've learned is that when perverse things have happened to a person, like a child who is in a home that is incested by their father or brother or uncle or grandfather, or when perversion, gross perversion happens, Satan will claim that one for himself. That's where this I call it the spirit of the bride of Satan, so that he veils, he says, "You're mine." That's that he claims you for himself. And most of the time, people who have this spirit will be visited in the night with sexual torments. And even the cruelty of it is that even if a woman gets married, she's not able to have a right relationship with her husband because Satan has claimed her for himself. So there's all kind of problems in intimacy. And so this can be a real factor for people. So if you have any problems like that, come to the 6 o'clock prayer meeting and we'll take care of that. But I'm going to do some prayers at the end too. Usually they will have spiritual husbands or wives that visit them in the night. It's that is becoming more and more prevalent as time goes on because these spirits have not been dealt with. And so they just continue. More and more people are affected by them. I even saw a show one time, it was like a 20-20 or a 60 minutes or something, where there were about 15 women that had this phenomenon, and they don't know what to think about it. They're all under psychiatric care. Some of them were even suicidal because of this thing that was going on with them. And I was sitting there thinking, man, I wish I could email them and tell them what it is. You know? Listen, you need to get rid of that, you know, and you can get rid of that. It's not, you know, it's hard for, I guess, the psychiatrist. I don't know if they were men or women, but a lot of, and you know, there's way more women suffering that, but they're too embarrassed to go talk to anybody about it. So there are answers even for those kind of problems in deliverance. Let's see. So when Satan claims you for himself, he wants you to be his bride, so to speak. And of course, we in the church know that we are the bride of Christ, right? So even if you come into the church and you have this, that veil can be removed from you. And we're going to do that today. Remove that veil that keeps others away. Okay, so then also, like whenever a person is raped or molested or whatever, then there are the familiar spirits of being raped. Like, if you could see in the spirit realm, let's just say there's two people. In fact, I had a woman here one time after I taught this. She was probably between 70 and 80 years old, and she came up and she was just, I mean, a nervous wreck because she had been raped when she was 16. Her daughter got raped when she was 16, and she had a granddaughter who was 15, and she was about to have a nervous breakdown because she just knew that this granddaughter was going to be raped when she was 16. Well, I would say that's not an unreasonable concern because these things are, they go in cycles, and history repeats itself. I learned about that with Abraham and Isaac. Abraham and Sarah were going from one land to another, and Abraham said to Sarah, "Now you know you're a pretty good-looking woman, and when we go through these lands, they're gonna want to kill me so they can have you for themselves. So you tell them you're my sister, so they don't kill me." And then a few chapters over in Genesis, I'm reading the same exact story. They're going from one land to another. The man says, "You're a good-looking woman. They'll kill you." Kill me to have you, so you tell them you're my sister. And I thought, wait a minute, I just read that story. Why are they telling that story again? Well, it was Abraham and now Isaac. You see, so I didn't know anything about anything whenever God started teaching me about generational things because I thought to myself, oh, that's where they get that saying, like father, like son. Because the things that the father does, those, unless they're dealt with, those sins are dealt with, they just keep going right on down the family line. So there is a truth to that. And those familiar spirits. So you can have, like the grandmother who got raped, had the familiar spirit of rape now passes down to the daughter. She doesn't have anything to do with that. But here's a rapist that has the spirit of the rapist, and the spirit of the victim of rape is there, and the rapist has the spirit of the rapist, and these two people may not even see each other, but the spirits see each other. Hey, That's how it works. And it's in the spirit realm. And so we're going to get rid of familiar spirits today too. Okay. Let's see. Okay, then there's also the issue of soul ties. Because in 1 Corinthians 6, it says, whom you join yourself to, you become one with. And the way I describe soul ties is, you know, God created the sex act for a man and a woman who are married to consummate their marriage. That's how they become one. So if you have sex outside of marriage, you're making yourself one with all these different people. And if you could see yourself as a puzzle piece, a puzzle, let's just say you have the brain is three or four pieces, and your face and your body and like that, when you have sex with someone that you're not married to and then you depart from them, they take a piece of your puzzle. That's how you can become scattered. You have a fragmented mind and a fragmented soul. And it causes confusion. It causes people not to be able to make decisions. It causes double-mindedness. It can cause you to behave in ways that you never behaved, because those spirits pass back and forth between people. So if you have sex with someone who has an evil spirit, then that evil spirit comes right into you, and you may find yourself doing things you've never done before. People just don't understand how serious it is. And so they form a soul tie with this person. And I describe it this way. It's like if you've ever gone fishing, you're standing in the boat or on the shore, and you throw that fishing pole out there, and you know they have that string that's kind of invisible. So when that string goes in the water, you can't see the string. So you throw the hook, the fish bites the hook. Well, before it bites the hook, the fish is free. It can go anywhere in the lake it wants to go. But once that fish is hooked, it no longer has total control over its own self. And that's what soul ties do. You find yourself not having control over yourself like you did before it happened. So now the fisherman is yanking that fish, and he's got authority over the fish. And so when you have sex with someone you're not married to, you are actually giving authority to that person to have control over you that you don't want them to have control of. So we're going to deal with those soul ties too. You can also have a soul tie from having a real close relationship. Even somebody that you have a fight with, you can have a fight with somebody and not forgive them and never see them again, but that hook of that anger and everything is still right there. And then what happens from that is it becomes like a bridge, and then things can cross back and forth. You may find yourself having the same problems that that person had. Financial problems or sicknesses or whatever. Those can all pass through soul ties. Okay? So when you get deliverance, it's for you first and then for others. Because what you are freed from, you can now offer that same freedom to someone else. That's what's so wonderful about deliverance. Another thing I love about deliverance is that one thing I loved about deliverance is because when I learned about these evil spirits, it was nice to find out that I wasn't evil. Because I had some spirits now. And I've been delivered from a lot of spirits. I'm sure there's still some in there that need to come out. But the major ones that were creating a lot of problems for me and for members of my family, those have been broken and cast out. So when you know about these evil spirits and you have a relationship with someone and they behave like this, you can still love the person because it's not them. You can separate them from the evil spirit and still love the person but hate the evil spirit, and then start learning how to bind and loose and even cast out. I tell women sometime when they call and I say, well, listen, when your husband goes to sleep tonight. You don't need to do it to, especially don't do it to his face. You don't cast out a demon to his face, because, you know, depending on what it is, you're liable to get beat up. But while they're asleep, you know, your spirit never sleeps. Your spirit never sleeps. It's awake all the time. It's just like God never sleeps, because spirits don't need sleep. So even children, you know, if a child is behaving in a certain way, I say, when after that child is asleep, just go to the doorway. They don't have to hear you. That's how I experienced the very first thing. I didn't even know it was deliverance. My little daughter, who was 5 at the time, would cry. She was kind of a melancholy child anyway, but I just thought, you know, she's not like me, because I wasn't melancholy, but I did go through a depression, and I was pregnant with her while I was depressed. So that spirit of depression got into her while she was in my womb. So she was melancholy. She had a spirit of heaviness. She had abandonment issues. You know, she didn't ever want to leave. Would go with her grandmother or anything. She was afraid to leave me. That was another spirit of, you know, working with that. But so I was listening to the radio one day when I took them to school, and there was a program on, and it was a Christian program, and this man was talking about how spirits, a child can take on the same spirit as the mother, especially, you know, being pregnant in the womb. And he said, for instance, if a woman is depressed, and that was my, I thought, what does that mean? So I listened carefully after I dropped the kids off. I got back to the house, but I sat in the car and listened because I wanted to hear what this man had to say. He said, so if a woman is depressed, that spirit of depression can get into the baby. And the other man said, okay, so if someone out there is listening and has this situation, what should they do? Okay, well, you go to the child's bedroom door after they're asleep, and you just speak to that spirit. And you bind it and command it to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, so, I'm a quick study. So that night, went to the bedroom door, looking at my precious little girl asleep, and I just pointed at her and I said, you spirit of depression, oppression, sadness, sorrow, fear, all the things that were in me at the time that I knew that were in me when I was depressed, I commanded them to come out of her in the name of Jesus. Well, she got up the next day, and every day when I would take her to school, big tears would run down her cheeks, and, you know, I would say, what's the matter, baby? She didn't know. I said, are you afraid? No. Just, you know, she would just cry for no reason at all. She never cried again when I took her to school. And I thought, wow, this is powerful stuff. And so it was many years later, that was probably, she was 5, she's 80, that was 88. And I started coming to Lake Hamilton and finding out about deliverance probably in about 94. And then I came to Lake Hamilton the first time in 2001. So, it's been a real trip and a very exciting one. Okay, so you can, when you notice spirits in a person operating, if you don't know what the spirit is, you just say, you spirit that's causing her to do whatever. That's the one. I bind you and break your power and command you to get out in the name of Jesus. It's not rocket science. It's really simple. Okay, so we're gonna deal with some of these spirits and cast them out. This is the part I like. Now, if you've never been through deliverance before, let me just say this. Demons, spirits, you know, you look up the word for spirit, it means pneuma, it means breath, it means air, all these things. So you can just participate with the prayer whenever, you know what, if I just call one person's name that's in this room, all of a sudden, and you might not even be paying attention, but when you hear your name, you're paying attention. And that's how these spirits are. So when I'm calling these spirits out, if you feel anything, just cough or take a deep breath and blow it out, because it's going to come out. Okay? So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, well, first let me say, if any of you have been raped or molested, incested, betrayed, whatever the circumstance was, the trauma, whatever it was, I want you to take just a minute to think about who these people were and ask God to forgive them, and then you forgive them, and also forgive yourself. Because a lot of times we take responsibility for things that weren't our responsibility. So just, I want you to think about those persons and ask God, even a betrayal by a friend or whatever the betrayal was, you forgive that person so that we can call these spirits out and they'll have to go. They won't have a right to stay there anymore. So Lord, we just forgive. We forgive those that hurt us. We forgive our moms and dads whenever they've disappointed us and we felt betrayed or unprotected. We forgive anybody who has hurt us deeply, that has betrayed us and left us in a lurch, caused us to feel unloved and unprotected. We forgive them, Lord. We ask you to forgive them. Lord, we forgive our ancestors, whoever did these things. And we ask you to forgive them. Okay, so Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I just bind the strong man over every person's life. I bind the strong man. I render him powerless right now in Jesus' name. I command the spirits to line up and get ready to come out. When I call, come out in the name of Jesus. So first I break the curse of Tamar. The curse of Tamar, I break it in Jesus' name. I come against and break the spirit of rape and all spirits that came in during rape. I break your power and command you to come out. Trauma, fear, violence, in the name of Jesus, you go. All spirits of molestation, go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of molestation, I just cut their hands off of you. Every memory of it, the sounds, the sights, the smells, the taste, everything, come out of them. Come out of their minds, come out of their bones, come out of their blood. All the spirits of molestation, go in Jesus' name. All perverse spirits, you go in the name of Jesus. Abuse, I break abuse off of you in Jesus' name. All cruelty, cruelty, spirits of cruelty, you go in the name of Jesus. I break the power of the mean man in Jesus' name. All inappropriate touch, inappropriate touch, I break the power. And I command every spirit that came into you through inappropriate touch to go right now in Jesus' name. Spirits of incest, go in Jesus' name. All forced sexual acts, any forced sexual act, go. I break the power of it in Jesus' name. I rebuke the pain of it. I command the pain to leave that area now in Jesus' name. All of the symptoms, lingering symptoms, go in the name of Jesus. Perversion, I break your power and command you to go. Perversion, come out in Jesus' name. All spirits of perversion, physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain, go in Jesus' name. All fear spirits, fear, go in the name of Jesus. The spirit of Megormisibib, that means terror on every side, I break your power and command you to go. Fright, shock, trauma, anxiety, go in the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. Fear of the dark, fear of certain places, fear of strangers, fear of death, fear of being killed, fear of men, go in the name of Jesus. Fear of the violator, go in the name of Jesus. Fear of the offender, fear of those in authority, fear of it happening again, fear of being found out, fear of going to sleep in Jesus' name. I break your power. I come against all nightmares. Nightmares, I break your power and command you to go. Insomnia, I break your power. All spirits of insomnia, memory recall and flashbacks, go. Memory recall, I break that chain of the memory in Jesus' name. All nervousness, go. Nervousness. Anger at God. Why weren't you there? Why didn't you help me? Why didn't you do something? I just break the power of being angry at God. In fact, if you have had that, ask God to forgive you right now for blaming Him for it in the name of Jesus. Anger, rage, murder, go. Vengeance, wanting to get back at the person, go in Jesus' name. All bitterness and resentment, unforgiveness and hatred, go in Jesus' name. Death wishes, in the name of Jesus, wishing you were dead, wishing you'd never been born, I bind you and break your power. All suicidal thoughts, go in Jesus' name. All self-destructive behavior, cutting, in the name of Jesus, all self-destructive behavior, cutting yourself, starving yourself, not taking care of yourself. I come against all bondages, bondage to alcohol, all bondage to drugs, food, shopping, gambling, whatever was your escape. I break the bondage of that right now in Jesus' name. All fantasy, go in the name of Jesus. Distrust, distrust. I bind you and break your power. And I loose upon you the ability to trust again in Jesus' name. All betrayal, confusion, forgetfulness, go in the name of Jesus. Mental torment, insanity. I bind and break the power of insanity. That's something that is very prevalent with incest. So I break that spirit of insanity right now in Jesus' name. All arrested development, you go. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, you know every person sitting here. You know every reason that they would have arrested development. And I speak a supernatural maturity to the mind of the age that they are today. I just call them from being in the womb all the way to the age that they are now. Lord, supernaturally rearrange and mature their brains to the age that they are today. All stupor and dullness, go in Jesus' name. Hard of hearing, hard to learn, hard to understand. All learning disabilities, you go. Dyslexia, ADD, ADHD, I bind you and break your power. Autism, stuttering, oppression, depression, grief, sorrow, sadness, go in Jesus' name. Loneliness and desolation, shame, go in the name of Jesus. I speak to the lying spirit. I break your power in Jesus' name. That lying spirit that says you're ruined, you're damaged goods, nobody's going to want you. It was your fault. You could have done something. You'll never get married. You'll never amount to anything. You'll be alone the rest of your life. I break that lie right now in Jesus' name. I command that lying spirit to shut up in the name of Jesus. Now come against all behavior problems. Promiscuity, provocative dressing, seductive behavior, whoredom, and whoremonger, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. All spirits of fornication, masturbation, all spirits of the molester, the rapist, the mean man, the violator, the pervert, you go in the name of Jesus. All incubus, succubus spirits, unnatural, tormenting thoughts, I bind you and break your power in Jesus' name. Unclean spirits, every unclean spirit that came into you through violation, I break your power and command you to come out. Unclean spirits. Lust, go in the name of Jesus. All lust. Now break the soul ties. Okay, you may have to do this on your own, or tomorrow morning you can get with one of the ministers and break some soul ties, but it's very easy. Just make a list of people that you have ungodly soul ties with. And the process is to break the soul tie, send their soul and spirit back to them. Call back your soul and spirit back to yourself, cleanse and sanctify it, and then ask God to restore your soul. Restore your mind, your will, your emotions. In Jesus' name. Now I command the familiar spirits that attach themselves to you through any violation, any ungodly relationship. I give leave to the familiar spirits that came down through your family line on your daddy's side. I tell every familiar spirit to go in Jesus' name. The familiar spirits from the mother, go in Jesus' name. Generationally inherited curses from the father's bloodline, be broken now in Jesus' name. And the generationally inherited curses that came down through your mother's bloodline, I break them and command all familiar spirits to go in Jesus' name. I break the spirit of the bride of Satan. Let's divorce him right now. I just want you to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I give a spiritual writ of divorcement to Satan. I am not his bride. Satan, it is over. You have no tie on me. I'm not your wife. And you will not set me apart for yourself. Now I command every spirit that is connected to the spirit of the bride of Satan to go now in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus. We break that spirit of the bride of Satan. And Lord, I remove the veil off of them from the bride of Satan. And I call down your veil, Lord, the veil of the bride of Christ. Lord, I just speak a restoration to the colorful garment that the virgins wore. Whether you're a man or a woman, Lord, restore their innocence, restore their purity in the name of Jesus. I call down fire from heaven right now to destroy the altar that Satan has erected for your life. He wants your life. So we destroy that altar that Satan has erected for your life right now in Jesus' name. I restore your authority over your own body that was taken or given away. Whether it was taken or given away, I restore the authority that belongs to you to have authority over your body. And I restore your right to say no. In the name of Jesus, if you have been stripped of the right to say no, I give that back to you today, that you can say no and mean it, because the authority has been broken. They have that soul tie of having you on a hook that they could just jerk your string and have control over you. That is finished in Jesus' name. Now I remove the label that has been put on you by whatever happened to you. Rape me, abuse me, hurt me, whatever is on that. It's an invisible label. I just strip it off of you right now in the name of Jesus. And now, Lord, I ask for this is going to be a miracle, but I ask you to heal their memories right now of every hurtful thing that has happened to them at somebody else's hand. I ask you to heal their memories right now, Lord. And I just ask you to just push that rewind and erase button and have it be gone. All the tormenting thoughts ended. All the nightmares. No more nightmares. And Lord, I ask you to come now and heal the broken heart and the wounded spirits from every betrayal that's ever happened to us. I just ask you to heal their broken heart and their wounded spirit. Lord, your word says that you were that the Spirit of the Lord was upon you and you were anointed to heal the broken hearts. So I just speak healing to the broken hearts right now in the name of Jesus, according to your word. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. That's it. We have about 50 minutes before supper time. But Lord, I bless the food right now before we eat it. And we give you thanks for it and ask your blessings on it. And all of those who eat it and those who fixed it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.